Action.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I want to take a moment and pivot off of the Green Bay Packers, Rich Bisaccia, et cetera, and talk about your Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, we all know that spring training is underway in Maryvale, Arizona. And our guy over at TMJ, Dom Catronio, has been putting out content, whether that's interviews with a lot of the players, whether that's being there for the Mark Adonazio availability just a couple days ago, or putting out a column on the 620 website, talking about the situation the Brewers find themselves in. Look, by all accounts, by all understanding, Gabe, I think we're all pretty in lockstep on this. There's likely going to be a baseball work stoppage come December, right?
Yes. That seems to be the consensus that owners are going to be pushing for a salary cap. Obviously, the players, some have already started taking stances against that, and seems like everybody's ready to dig in and to the point where teams have been squirreling money away because they're expecting a long fight.
That came out recently.
Yeah, that they're expecting a long fight. And it might, if it lasts into the season, they're going to need money to cover team expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
And pay
all
employees,
things
of that nature.
So as we continue talking about parity and leveling the playing field, Dom Catronio puts out a really interesting column where he talks about what would that mean for teams like the Milwaukee Brewers. I think ostensibly, Chu, we think that the Brewers would be pro-salary cap, right? Because the Brewers feel like they are one of the have-nots versus the haves, the teams that can spend a boatload of money versus the teams that cannot, choose not to, whatever the detail might be. But Dom references that in December, The Athletic reported that Major League Baseball is exploring standardizing technology access across the minor leagues. And sources told Dom that if this legislation was passed within baseball, the impact would be felt immediately by the Brewers minor leaguers in 2027. Gabe, what does he mean by that?
Okay, so the Brewers have invested a lot of money in their minor league system, and they have, again, there's a couple different camera systems you can have within, the minor league ballpark, but they've done that so they can track players, movements, things like that using the technology within the minor league ballpark. Some teams have done this, some teams have not. And
the Brewers have, though.
Yes, the Brewers have. Yes,
very
active
in this space.
So the Brewers have, and that's one of the advantages that they try to gain in terms of their development because they're gathering this information, and they can do it in their home ballparks. Obviously, in road games, you can't really do it because not every ballpark may or may not have this. So what they want to do is have everybody have the same technology in these ballparks. How you interpret, how you use the technology, obviously up to you, but they want to standardize the technology across all the minor league ballparks. And again, that could be complicated because what if they go with a equipment company that the Brewers don't use, and now they've got to learn new technology and do things like that. So we would try to level the playing field in minor league baseball, which, by the way, they can do without a CBA. Like, baseball can just do this without, because this has nothing to do with the Major League Players Association. You can just unilaterally, if you decide, if you're baseball, to do these things in the minor leagues.
So, Gabe, would this include analytics? Because Tampa Bay, who's got a small payroll like the Brewers as well, is well known as the best team in baseball when it comes to analytics.
No, you don't have to like share that. Well. No, you don't have to share that. What they're talking about is just kind of leveling the playing field and making sure every ballpark has, again, this set of, and now they could choose to go with a camera operating system, Chew, that is below what you're currently using, right? Like, if the Brewers have spent X amount of dollars on different cameras, and then they decide, no, we're going to go with this company, and it's worse than what the Brewers have, obviously that would be a disadvantage for the Brewers.
How does that level the playing field when the Dodgers can still spend $300 million? There's no way in hell the Brewers could ever spend $300 million. They have to do it this way, where the Dodgers don't need a really, really good farm system because they can just, they don't have to develop players. They just go out and buy them.
Yeah, I feel like this would be detrimental to the Brewers more than most, Chew, because what they're trying to do is curb the spending of a lot of high spenders? Because a lot of those high spending teams, you mentioned the Dodgers do spend a ton of money on their minor league system as well. I think the Mets kind of do some of the same thing. And they're looking at these teams that have a ton of money and going, well, you're spending money on players and you're doing it in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. Let's level the playing field. Because, again, I haven't dug deep into all 30 teams, but I'm willing to bet a team like the Pirates probably isn't doing this, right? Where the Brewers, yeah, they're not spending a ton of money up top. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not going to be, you know, in the top 10 of payroll, but they have been spending to try and gain advantages in the minor league system because that's where the cheap talent is, that's where the controllable talent is, and they want that talent to be as good as possible by the time they get to the major leagues.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons the Brewers have been able to have success recently, right? They can't compete in the whole free agency space. They can't compete, mm-hmm. obviously, as we talked about, from a payroll standpoint when you're spending on your players. But what they can do is they can take young talent, they can push them through some of these programs that they have. There's so much talk, obviously, about the Brewers pitching lab and how they take, you know, average arms and make them elite. And what this basically asserts is that if Major League Baseball wanted to, they could standardize this technology across the board, which would ostensibly take away the advantage that the Milwaukee Brewers have found. And so when you hear Mark Adonazio talk earlier this week, and he sort of talked about unintended consequences or side effects and things that they are conscious of if, in fact, you know, this goes to a work stoppage. And I don't know that the two things are implicitly tied, Gabe.
They're not, because this has nothing to do, again, because baseball can just do this without the approval of the Players Association. Because, again, it's at the minor league level. So there's no minor league Players Association. You mm-hmm. can, and we've seen, baseball's done this a ton, right? Like, before we saw the pitch clock up here, before we saw the ending of the shift, the bigger bases, they'll use the minor league system as a test balloon, a trial balloon, to see if these things work. ABS. The automatic ball strike system that we're going to see at the Major League Baseball level. Test it out on the minor leagues and in spring training before it gets brought up. So they can just unilaterally make those changes to minor league. It has nothing to do with what's happening in the CBA.
But I do think, though, that I don't want to say that they're scared, but there is some nervousness. There is some, like, we don't necessarily want there to be, quote unquote, parity in the league. We don't necessarily want there to be a level playing field if leveling the playing field means taking away advantages that we have found.
Well,
right?
Well, I mean,
essentially what
maybe,
this is saying.
Well, but if again, because the two things aren't related, if this does get passed through, then maybe the Brewers would be a team that would want, yeah, okay, if everything's going to be kind of the same in terms of that technology. Now, again, how you use that technology, how you interpret the data that's put your way, how you use that in terms of developing your prospects, that all is up to the individual team. This is just kind of standardizing technology in minor league stadiums. So it wouldn't even, the pitching lab that everybody wants to talk about is actually for the Brewers at the major league level. That's inside AmFam Field. So I don't think that would be affected by this and how the Brewers use that to interpret data to get pitchers to throw better. But again, if this kind of levels the playing field in the minor league level, maybe the Brewers would be more welcome to. And again, I have no idea where Adonazio stands on pro salary cap, anti-salary cap, where he stands. I don't know if he's been asked that question. I'm sure he will be at some point before we get to a work stoppage. But maybe he would be more likely to be pro-salary cap because, well, if everything's level at the minor league level, we've got to try to get it at the major league level as well.
Well, it'll never happen on the major. The cap will never, like I said, the Brewers can't spend $300 million. They're never going to spend it where the big money teams can. Have they thrown out numbers yet when it comes to
no
a ceiling and a floor?
They have not, Chew, and that's, again, only going to get more difficult seeing as how, you know, the executive director of the NFLPA just had to step down this week because of his scandal. So that's going to complicate things.
Yeah. Numbers that are further thrown out there, and again, it is all speculation, as Gabe is saying. Nobody has gone on the record specifically saying this is what a floor would look like, this is what a ceiling would look like. But $185 million to $250 million per team based on revenue sharing is a range that has been thrown out there as far as what a salary cap or what a salary floor would look like in Major League Baseball. 800-990-3776. I think when Adonazio spoke earlier this week, I mentioned that he sort of referenced the unintended consequences or the, I'm using the phrase, side effects of some of these conversations where you're sitting here going, it's not fair, the haves versus the have-nots, and how can these teams compete with these teams? And he's saying, we find advantages. We have found advantages. We talk about the pitching lab. We're talking about the technology that they're using at the lower levels to try to get these guys to accelerate their progress, accelerate their process. I think the Brewers are very conscious of that being something that could go away, and I don't think that they want it to. The quote that Dom includes in his column that I found interesting as well was from Matt Arnold, obviously GM of your Milwaukee Brewers. It's not our job to figure out the economics of the sport. In our situation, it's what are we going to do about it? Arnold said at the end of the season last year, we're going to have the resources we need. We have support from our ownership to put a quality product on the field. Let us know what you think about this development, this idea that perhaps Major League Baseball could step in and try to level the playing field at the minor league level by implementing standardized technology across the entire minor leagues, an area where the Milwaukee Brewers have seemingly had an advantage in recent years. Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Top 8 at 8. It's Thursday. We have Top 8 at 8. That's how that works. That's where we're going. Gabe?
Bunzl's is celebrating their 50th year in business. This family-owned and operated meat market has been serving Milwaukee since 1976, becoming a vital part of our community. Making plans to stop by Bunzl's for these weekly in-store specials. This week, stop by and get bacon and cheddar burgers, $6.89 a pound. The state champion honey mustard and cheddar brats, $6.89 a pound. I can't help myself. I usually have to get at least two every time I stop in at Bunzl's because those honey mustard and cheddar brats, fantastic. So get them while they're on special, $6.89 a pound. Pork country style ribs, $3.99 a pound. And don't forget the fudge brownies, just $2.99 each. It's the other thing they have there. They've got a little bakery, real great desserts that you can always pick up. Bunzl's, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. Find all their specials at bunzls.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
The court to the comments made in the locker room after. It's an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. It's on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Turkey.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
Again, another list that ended up being tougher than anticipated, but here we are. So here we go. A list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one gets an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. I am looking for the last 8 Packers to return a punt for a touchdown. Last 8 Packers to return a punt for a touchdown.
Wow.
I was going to do punts and kicks, but then that would have been impossible. There's a name on there that maybe Chewy recognizes. We'll get to that later.
I mean, has it even happened in the last 2 or 3 seasons? I can't recall. How about Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb, with his punt return in 2012, is number 2 on the list.
Whoa!
2000 what?
2012.
Ooh, Allen Rossum.
Allen Rossum had a punt return for a touchdown in 2001. He is number 6 on the list.
Oh my goodness. 2001 is number 6 on the list.
That is
correct.
So
there are 2 more that are later than 2001. Yeesh. Well, this is a hard list. special teamers. Speedsters. This is hard.
You want me to go?
You got one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roel Preston
had a punt return for a touchdown in 1998. He is number 7 on the list.
Yeah, I'm going to rely on you to be the 99, unless Desmond's on this list.
Yeah,
which
Desmond's the next one.
That's correct. Desmond Howard, 3 punt returns in 1996, is number 8 on the list.
Wow. I think you're telling a whole lot.
I think Hulu Duck.
No, that would be too far back. He did have a punt return for a touchdown, true, but that was 1995. That would have been number 9.
Okay.
That would have been number 9 on the list.
And for people who don't know who Hulu Duck is,
Antonio Freeman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
I will. So the list right now, you guys have gotten 4. Which Chewy getting Allen Rossum, knowing that was 6, obviously that helped him out because then he played with Roel and Desmond at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But we have number 2 on the list is Randall Cobb, who returned a punt for a touchdown in 2012. Also had a punt return for a touchdown in 2011. And number 6 is Allen Rossum, who had one in 2001. Roel Preston in 1998, and the Desmond in 1996 closes out the list. So we need number 1. 3, 4, and 5.
So the good news is, I think that these were teams that I at least covered right there in the middle, right?
What year did you start?
2005.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
To 2013, 2012. You got one, Chu?
What about Rams? Did he return one?
Who?
Rams.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you did.
He's talking about Devontae Adams, and Devontae never returned punts.
Oh, Rams, because he plays for the Rams now.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like another language. What about Will Blackman? I seem to remember Will Blackman being
an
end zone guy for special teams.
Will
good
Blackman
pull.
Had 2 punt returns for a touchdown in 2008. He is number 3 on the list.
Jeez Louise. We still need pull. Number 1.
Still
that means
need
there's
number
somebody
one.
More recent mm-hmm. than Randall Cobb.
You guys have done a lot better than I thought. You guys have gotten 5 on the list.
Position change?
Position change. My nose
Gabe
is itching.
Gabe knows what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. That's not right.
That isn't right?
No, that is incorrect.
800-990-3776, because it's starting to feel like we're running out of guesses. 800-990-3776 if you want to play top 8 at 8. Okay, hold on.
The last 8 Packers to return a punt, specifically a punt for a touchdown.
Okay, hold on. What ones are we missing?
1, 4, and 5.
Okay, so 1 has been more recent than Randall Cobb, which what year was Randall Cobb?
2012.
Okay, in 2012.
Was his most recent. He also had one in 2011.
Okay.
But you also know that Will Blackman is next on that list in 2008.
So then after 2008, I'm sorry, before 2008 for 4 and 5.
Correct. Between 2001 and 2008, because Allen Rossum was 2001 for 4 and 5, and then more recent than 2012 for number 1.
Chu, was there anybody from that Super Bowl team? No?
Receivers?
But that wouldn't even matter because Randall Cobb, you said, was 2012.
Yeah.
And Will Blackman is 2008.
Yeah, okay.
Not double D.
Mm-mm. I don't think he returned any punts for touchdowns, did he? I do have guesses coming in on the YouTube stream. I can't. It doesn't count. You got to call in.
800-990-3776. You guys got 5. You guys did better than
I
thought you would.
We're going to punt on this.
And I'm sure there are people out there that are going to get these next 3. Again, the last 8 Packers to return punts for touchdowns.
Okay.
Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
How about Bill Schroeder?
Bill Schroeder is not on the list. Never returned a punt for a touchdown for the Packers.
Let's go out to Jeff in Muskego. Jeff, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I think number 1 is Micah Hyde, but that's all I got.
Micah Hyde is number 1. He had a punt return for a touchdown in 2014. Actually did it twice in 14 and had one in 13 as well. Micah
very,
Hyde,
very
one.
Good, Jeff. You sure you don't want to take another guess? You get another shot.
Yeah, I got nothing. Sorry.
All right, let's go out to Jake in Maguanago. Jake, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Did Tremont Williams do one?
In 2007, Tremont Williams had a punt return for a touchdown. He is number 4 on the list, leaving number 5. It's the only one we got left.
Jake, you got a guess?
Chapman, Antonio Chapman.
Antonio Chapman on Christmas Day 2005 returned a punt for a touchdown against the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
He is the last one on the list.
Jake in Maguanago, congratulations. You're our big winner this morning on top 8 at 8. That was okay.
That was a good list.
Yeah, we got through it a lot quicker than I thought. You guys did better.
Captain Matty Ice on the YouTube stream says, I hope this list is inspiring Chewy on how to pick a power rankings list.
Get off my back.
So I was going to initially include kick returns for it as well, because then that would have made Keyshawn Nixon number one. He returned a kick for a touchdown in 2022.
But this is more illustrative to the point you were trying to make.
But I mean, there's still a big gap, because then the next kickoff return, number eight on the list, you'd have still gone back to 1999. Chewy, do you remember Basil Mitchell?
No, I don't.
Because he returned a kick for a touchdown in 1999.
Way to work for it, though.
So I looked at that name, and I'm going, there's a chance Chewy doesn't even remember playing with this guy. I can't go kick returns because nobody's going to guess Basil Mitchell.
Good stuff. Good list. And again, the point is, you know, that we have talked about ever since the announcement that Rich Bisaccia was stepping down, are the Packers as an organization investing in some of these positions, these elements of special teams.
Yeah, they haven't had a kick return for a touchdown since 2022, a punt return since 2014. And when Keyshawn returned that one in 2022, it was the first since Randall Cobb on the opening game in 2011.
Wow. That's the one I remember.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good list by you, Gabe. We'll take a break. There is a new conversation, a new interview with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know you're thrilled. Samesies. We'll talk about that when we come back.
At Ewald Automotive Group, they believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of lower payments. That's why they're giving you $1,500 over book value for your trade. Get into a new vehicle with payments starting under $250 a month. Over 1,400 vehicles backed by their low price guaranteed. $1,500 more for your trade. Payments starting under $250. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of lower payments. It's based on Kelly Rubik. Fair trade value applies to 2013 or newer year models. You know with Ewald, I trust them. You should trust them. They always make it easy. And it starts at EwaldAuto.com.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Being the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all. And when it comes to top-of-the-line engagement rings, they're second to none. And when that day comes for my boys to take that next step, I know exactly where they're going. The Jewelry Center. Great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds. Plus, specialists who make the process easy and fun. Just ask Gabe. Stop into one of their four locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, and now Mequon. Or shop the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
Our guy Giannis Antetokounmpo did an interview with a Greek media company. It's called Kosmote TV. So if you're interested in Googling this or looking it up as we're discussing it, if you haven't heard this yet, go ahead. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kosmote TV, in which, and this has been translated from Greek, so I want to make sure we're clear on that, in which Giannis said, if it were up to me, maybe I already would have left, talking about Milwaukee. In a year and a half, when I become a free agent at 32, it will be up to me. Giannis repeated that he loves Milwaukee. He feels loved in Milwaukee. However, he would love to win another championship. So things should be moving towards that goal. That's what the article says. Still, he will never force his way out through a trade because I am not that kind of guy. A lot of this is what we have heard from Giannis in the Jim Ozarski article, in the Eric Name article, in the Malika Andrews conversation. He is at least hitting, Gabe, the same talking points over and over again. But this line feels a little different. If it were up to him, maybe he would have left Milwaukee by now. How did you interpret that?
Yeah, I take a look at that. This last offseason, I think we saw it. There were the reports that the Knicks were involved, the Bucks engaged in talks with the Knicks. They didn't really go anywhere. And then the talks around the trade deadline, they didn't really go anywhere. Maybe Giannis isn't asking out, but again, the Bucks, I don't think, have any interest in trading Giannis, and they're not doing any of that without at least him being aware of it. And yeah, maybe he would have thought, okay, we tried the Dame thing, didn't work out. Obviously, him and Dame, I think, still have a good relationship. There was a video from All-Star Weekend of Giannis holding the three-point trophy after Dame had won that, and they were goofing around, having a good time. So obviously, there's a good relationship there. But I think he realized, okay, once that didn't work out, maybe it's time for him to go look at something else. And this team has kind of become what this team has become this season. But again, it's ultimately up to John Horst and company to try to put together a team around him. And
this guy is all over the road. You talk about us going off the rails. This guy He's off the rails.
Is he? Because his messaging seems pretty consistent to me, Chu.
Well, he said he'd already be gone if it was up to him.
He just said maybe.
It is up to him. The Bucks are not trading him unless Giannis goes, all right, I want to be traded.
Correct.
And he has said that he will never request or ask for a trade.
Yeah, the messaging's been consistent, I think. It's just been the same thing, that he loves Milwaukee, wants to be loyal to Milwaukee, but wants to win a championship more.
I don't understand.
Him saying that, you know, talking about free agency.
Thank you. I was just going to hit on that.
Makes me think that if the contract was put in front of him right now, he's not signing it.
Yeah.
That's speculation on my part, but we'll have to wait until October, or if the Bucks get a feel over the summer, if they think he's going to sign it or not, if they decide to trade him. But
what does your gut tell you right now, Gabe? Again, there's still a lot of things that could happen. Bucks could still make some moves, can still try to sweeten the deal, sweeten the pot for Giannis. But he will have to make a decision about the Supermax in October. So that comes well before he would be a free agent.
Yeah, because players like Giannis, they just don't become free agents. Because if they get close to free agency, they get traded, and then they sign extensions with those teams. Like, very rarely do players like that actually hit free agency, because teams like the Bucks want to try to get as much as they can in return and don't want him to walk away for nothing.
Is there a Rodgers threshold here or no?
What do you mean by that?
I'm sick of it.
Oh, there. Look, people are sick of it. People are frustrated. And frustrated is the wrong word. It's just there's an exhaustion. There's an exhaustion for this. And as Gabe mentioned earlier, I'm not sure that it's Giannis's fault. I'm not sure that it's the Bucks' fault. It's more circumstantial than anything else, right? I'm not sure if it's the league's fault. People want to find somebody to blame, and they blame Brian Windhorst, and they blame Shams over at ESPN. But, like, this is a real situation that is happening in our backyard. It is one of the biggest stories in the NBA, so people are going to talk about it, but that doesn't mean that fans of the franchise aren't sick of hearing it.
The Bucks start playing games again tomorrow, Chu. And I think once we hit that rhythm and play this game and play these games out, we're not going to hear much about it, because nobody can do anything right now to acquire Giannis. This is a dead time, right? Those interviews that we keep referencing with Jim Ozarski and Eric Name, those happen around the trade deadline. Okay, so it makes sense. These interviews are happening around a dead period right now. There's no games going on in the NBA.
Well, he sat down with Malika at All-Star Weekend, which, you know, makes a ton of sense.
So he's already talked to Jim. He's already talked to Eric. Those are the guys that are around the team every day. That he's not going to have to answer, I don't think, any more questions about this until the season's over.
Well, and I don't think he's going to want to either, right? Because he is still ramping to come back, to be back out on the floor. Once that happens, he's going to be fully locked in on trying to win games, to try to get the Bucks into a position where they're either in the play-in tournament or they're in the playoffs. Like, that's going to be his single-minded focus. You know, if there's anything we've learned about Giannis, it's that you put that challenge in front of him and he is going to go, you know what, to the you know what. I can say the wall part. Can't say the first part.
I could say the first part.
Can I really?
Yeah. Why can't you say that?
You could say balls to the wall?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know, you guys. There's always different rules.
Yeah, and
you said it yesterday.
I mean,
well, the rules are pretty simple.
Yeah, and you don't care about them. Well, Chewy just shoots first and asks questions
later.
And
you have a problem with coding at
what do you
times.
Mean, coding.
Like, I code everything.
Coding my message.
Yeah.
I thought you meant coding, like C-O-A-T-I-N-G.
Oh, I thought he was talking about, like, computer coding.
Oh, we.
I ruled that out pretty fast.
Was that a shot at me?
That was a shot at
Which
you.
Which is interesting, because in about 3 minutes, you're going to get to take your shot at him.
Oh,
so.
I cannot wait. But I was going to say, outside of the Toads, no one believes him when he says, I will never ask for a trade. Well, my agent might, but I am I right or wrong?
Yeah. Again, I think it's semantics, Chew. And if we get to October 1st and he doesn't sign the extension,
it's
essentially the same thing as asking for a trade. Because now he knows, but he's putting the pressure back on the Bucks. Well, I did ask for the trade, but I'm not signing this extension.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a game of semantics we're playing.
So this new interview with this Greek media company, I saw it making the rounds yesterday on social media. It doesn't change your thought about the situation we're in at all, because, again, this is the first time I feel like he has referenced that free agency, which is looming out there, as he mentioned, a year and a half from now, when he's 32 years old.
Yeah, it doesn't change much. Because, again, if the Bucks pull off a miracle and do some of the things that Horst has done over the years and somehow get a key player on this team to play alongside Giannis, then he sticks around. If they don't, then he doesn't stick around. I'm still 75% he's probably gone.
800-990-3776. Go ahead and weigh in on that on the Carbless Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more, or in the YouTube comments on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. You can always watch our shows on YouTube, see what's happening in the studio, and comment alongside with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. I am curious. Will's going to draft a poll on this. Does Giannis mentioning free agency in this most recent interview, this with a Greek media company, change your opinion, change your view on how this whole thing will shake out? It is the first time, I believe. Again, I try to pore over the Giannis comments. I try to read everything he says. I try to, you know, be as informed as possible on this stuff. I believe this is the first time I've seen him reference becoming a free agent, potentially, or having the option of becoming a free agent, potentially. So I wonder if that changes how people are feeling about the future of Giannis in Milwaukee. Let us know, 800-990-3776.
Tired of always waking up exhausted? Dad bod starting to weigh on you? Finding it harder to get excited about, I don't know, basically anything? If your energy, focus, and drive aren't what they used to be, it might not be that you're just getting older, which is something I told myself for a long time. Oh, okay, this is just how it is. This is what I have to do. No, it doesn't have to be like that. There's a good chance your hormones and metabolism are just out of balance. So this new year, let's get back to the old you. I know you remember that guy, sharp at work, full of energy, fun, the one that people enjoyed being around. And that's where Mentality can come in and help you. Mentality, not just this macho, low-T bro clinic. No, they're human-centered. They listen to you. Their mission's to figure what's going on with your body and your brain. They run real labs, explain your results in plain English. And then here's the best part. This isn't just one size fits all to get your testosterone levels where they need to be. No, this is a personalized, science-backed plan using hormone therapy and FDA-approved peptide treatments to help get your brain and body back on track. So stop telling yourself and everybody else around you that you're fine. Right now, all new patient labs are covered in your treatment plan. That's a savings of $250 right out of the gate. So don't wait. See if Mentality can help you and reclaim the old you, the younger you, with Mentality.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
All right, our buddy has been champing at the bit to have this conversation. So recently, we learned that our guy Will Summers, Will the Thrill, behind the glass, filling in for Joshy DiMaggio, played a little college baseball. In fact, I learned this when we were talking about who's hot, who's not. And Will was like, I've thrown my hat in the ring to play third base for the Milwaukee Brewers. And I was like, well, that's very aggressive of you, Will. Do you have a baseball background? To which I learned that he does.
I chuckled. I actually chuckled when I first
Why is it so hard to believe?
Because a lot like Boog Powell, I don't
but he
look
was
at
a pro.
You as an athlete.
I played Division III baseball. It's not like I was in the minor leagues.
So then you told me a story. Go ahead and tell the story. And I had questions.
I was telling him how my career ended. I was in a game and someone threw a curveball and it kind of started behind me and it got hung up. I misjudged it and it hit me in the face while I was hitting. Broke my nose, concussion. And then the next season I decided not to play. So it ended my career.
And why would that make you chuckle, Chew?
He was laughing hysterically.
It was a curveball. Were you high?
It just came out of his hand weird. Like, you couldn't tell if it was going to come back for a strike or if it was just going to hang up there. It just spun in the air. Hey, Gabe knows.
Gabe, I mean, guys, Gabe, help me
might
out.
Be time to play that
Gabe.
Music, Will. That music that I had you pull. Might be time to throw that underneath this as we basically trauma bond over Will's.
Have you never seen a guy's knees buckle in a curveball? People get fooled by curveballs all the time, big guy.
Not me. I play wiffle ball tons of times. A ton
and
of times.
And if a wiffle ball connects with your dome, guess what's not happening? Concussion City.
Yeah.
You think you, with all the concussions you had, would be more sympathetic to young Will. I almost called him
little Will.
God dang it.
Now, if it was a heater, I'd be like, man, that's terrible. That's horrible. And I mean, it's still horrible, but at the end of the day, it's a curveball.
All right. Now I think Will's got to strike you out with wiffle ball.
Yeah. It'd be so easy.
Did you?
Yeah, but you
well,
can't
Will?
Throw it fast, though. Hold on, you
what do
can't.
You mean
I have
I
a
can't
rule.
Throw
you can't
fast.
Throw fast.
What are you talking about?
You can't.
Why
no.
not?
Because it's all about junk.
Yeah, and you know how that junk moves faster.
No, because the bat is too light and it just doesn't work. A wiffle ball is meant to just
excuses like that.
Nope. No.
You've got more excuses for you than I do for Matt LaFleur.
You know how many times, Gabe, I've gone yard playing wiffle ball? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got my money on Will striking
Who
you out.
Who's pitching?
Yeah,
when you went yard.
Apparently when there's the can't throw it fast, I'm not good enough if the ball's moving fast
but
rule.
Might I make a suggestion here, Will? Throw it fast, then don't throw it fast, then let him guess on the third one. You know
All
what
right.
I mean? You change
Here's
up
the deal,
speeds.
Then.
Yeah,
you're
easy,
throw it,
easy to go yard when it's just batting practice.
If you're going to throw it fast, I get to choose my own bat.
Fine.
Don't you have to use a wiffle bat?
I still don't think he'll hit it.
Well, I mean, you would want a wiffle bat.
No,
because,
you know the kid's bat?
Yeah, he's talking about the big red one.
Yeah.
Where the barrel's bigger than Chewie's head.
You cannot throw a wiffle ball fast. That's just not fair. I'll let you throw a darn hard ball.
Why are you trying to stack the deck against young Will?
Because he doesn't want to get embarrassed by Will.
This summer we'll do it, Chewie.
Okay. Well, Will, welcome to the program.
Where?
That's never happening, okay?
Come on.
In the station?
Yeah, okay. It doesn't happen in the station.
In the market
it doesn't
hall.
Anywhere.
You won't hit it, so it doesn't matter.
They used to have those pickleball courts. Do they have pickleball courts still?
Yeah, they're still down there.
I mean, it's tough to know if it goes yard or not in the pickleball court.
But that's cursed because that's where Strofe
Can't
did
we
his
run
little
over
combine,
to Hellfair?
Right?
Yeah, it is where Strofe did his
I don't
combine.
Want any part True. Of that juju
we
after
can run
seeing
over
that
to Hellfair
video.
Hellfair Field, right? That's right on your way home, buddy. You just peel off at Amp.
No, but that's under construction, though, Jen. Last time I was home.
I mean, you can still get off and go to the stadium pretty easily.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah, Mitchell's wide open, pal. You just pull off to the right, pull down there.
Again, this all started with you wanting to give Will a tough time about his baseball career. I guess I didn't know it ended the way that it ended. I certainly would not have participated in
defensive
this
specialist catcher hit 200. It's all you could ever ask for.
I mean, if you're a defensive specialist catcher, 200 sounds about right.
Yeah, relief catcher. You ever heard of one, Chew?
No. And I've dropped footballs, but that's on me. I didn't say, well, it came out of the quarterback's hand a little weird. He threw it with his left hand.
So if Brett threw one behind you and you didn't catch it, you would blame yourself?
Well, it's got to be a catchable ball.
I think that's what Will is
also,
trying to say
Brett,
here.
Brett's trying to throw it to you. The pitcher's trying to throw it where you don't hit it.
That's not it.
It's a different objective.
This is falling apart very quickly. Will, I didn't realize that's how your baseball career ended. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't end.
I still play,
He's playing some Rock River League baseball.
I play in the league Gabe used to play in. Yeah.
Rock River League.
So there you go, Chewy. Still playing.
That's just, hey, Jen.
All he's a Hartford Hawk.
All this is D3ers hanging together. That's it. That's all it is.
What's wrong with D3ers? We do it for the love of
Nothing.
The game.
Nothing. I love D3ers.
Do it for the love of the game, not for the prestige.
You said you want winners. I wore one to get on base.
That's a very good point.
Hold on.
I didn't run.
Yeah, you didn't take first base.
I was going to the hospital. I went to go touch first base, and then I went to the hospital.
It's only your nose. What the heck?
And his brain. Again, you would think that you would have more sympathy for this.
Turns out he doesn't. He only has sympathy for his brain.
I hope I have one. I don't think I do.
Why did this turn into Wizard of Oz?
I don't know.
All right, Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.